Good morning. It is good to be here with you all. I appreciate the opportunity that I get to get up here and to speak. It's my turn this month, so I hope you enjoy the lesson. I hope it will bring about some study and dedication to God in your life as it has done for me. This lesson, as most lessons that I do, are pointing at myself, looking at some weak points that I feel I'm weak in, and so I'm trying to work on those. And so this is a lesson to kind of go along with that. last week, John Morgan was here last Sunday. He spoke from Acts chapter 17. I think we've spent almost all of July in Acts chapter 17. About right, Sky? Okay, not all of it. We have spent some time. It's a great chapter, a great book in Acts. A lot to learn from. But John, he didn't realize that we were in Acts 17. He brought another lesson from Acts 17 last Sunday. He looked at the first few verses. Verse 6 was the key to his lesson. He said his lesson was turning the world upside down. upsetting the world, turning it upside down. Verse 6 of Acts 17, these men have upset the world. Talking about Paul and Silas there in Thessalonica. And so he went on to say, you know, the lesson on how Jesus, teaching Jesus, and that will turn the world upside down. That people are going to hear that. And one key point maybe he made was that the world is already upside down, and we need to turn it back upright. And so I had already been thinking about this lesson that I have prepared, but this, it really kind of tied in and kind of gave me direction, I guess, to help follow up that lesson last Sunday morning. another key point that John made in that lesson, he said, we are the weak vessel. We are the weak vessel. The Word, that is the power of God unto salvation. The weak part is us. That is us spreading that gospel. We're the weak ones in that. We are the problem with getting the gospel spread. That was a point that John made. We need to be at work turning the world upright. And so I kind of had an application point to make to that. I have three points to make this morning on how do we increase our interest. And that's the title of my lesson, Increasing Our Interest. Increasing our interest in doing God's will. I think we realize there's a need for that. We realize that we are the ones that are needed to do that. How do we increase our interest? How do we go about increasing our interest? I think from our reading Colossians chapter 1, there's some points there that I want to bring out, three points I want to bring out about increasing our interest. How do we get an interest in the Lord's work and increase it? Before I get into those points, I would like to kind of introduce three characters. These three characters, I want you to think of them as people. Maybe you would fall into one of these categories, these characteristics. We all admire people who are strong and have a very active work. And I want to relate that to spiritual work. We admire people, Christians, who have a strong work, who have a very active work, who are involved, who have a lot of studies going on with people, who are involved in worship services, who seem like they have a lot of knowledge of the scriptures. I admire people who have that strong, active work for the Lord. People who are strong in their faith, who seem to be happy, who seem to have contentment in their life. A person in the Bible that is a great example of someone who had a strong work life, an active life in work, is Paul. Even before in his Judaism, he was strong in his work. In Galatians chapter 1, we see there Paul before in his Judaism, what he was talking about. He said, for you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, Galatians 1, verse 13 and 14, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism and beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Paul, a person who had a strong, active work, He said in his former life in Judaism, he was extremely zealous. Extremely zealous. And then we see him afterwards, after he was converted, in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. He says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Paul was someone who was zealous in his work. He had a very strong, active work, especially in working for Christ and working for God. He pressed on. He reached forward. And those are some descriptions that he described his character there. The three different characters I want to describe before we jump into the main part of the lesson. Three different characters. I think you're either going to be hot, lukewarm, or you're going to be cold. You're going to be hot, lukewarm, or cold. When we talk about having a work and having a work level for the Lord, the hot, the one of fire, the full of zeal, Paul there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 and 3. "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, in labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father." Paul there speaking to the Thessalonians, saying that they had a work of faith, a labor of love. They were steadfast in hope. I think this describes someone who is full of zeal, that first level, hot, for doing God's work, on fire for doing that. Maybe a way of looking at it today, maybe ways that we would identify these characteristics is someone, and these are just some thoughts that I'm going to throw out there. I'm sure there's more that would go along with it. But someone that's at Bible studies, at worship services regularly, that takes every opportunity to worship and to study with other Christians. Someone who makes sacrifices to serve others. Someone who's willing to give up their time to serve others. One that's full of zeal is going to be a really good Bible student. Knows the scriptures, memorizes the scriptures, puts those scriptures to work. One that's hot and full of zeal is going to be a teacher. Someone who's inviting people to Jesus Christ. And they you can see that in their actions and in their conduct in life that they are teachers. That's the first one. The second one's lukewarm. Lukewarm. Revelation 3, we know that passage. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." And being lukewarm is not good. Being lukewarm is not good. Maybe a way that we would see this is someone that's maybe a little bit sporadic in their attendance at church. They're here sometimes, they're at Bible study sometimes, but maybe not all the time. Maybe these are type of people that are not willing to give up their own time to serve others. In other words, they would give them their leftovers. Yeah, at the end of the day, if I have time, I'll be glad to help you, but I have other stuff that I have to get done. Some of my own agenda. Maybe these are people that don't take opportunities to further their knowledge in the scriptures. They don't attend things that could further their education in the scriptures. They don't take the free time at home to study. Little personal evangelism for lukewarm. Maybe a little bit, but not enough. They're just so-so. They're lukewarm, as the Bible pointed out. And then the last one is cold. And these people have forsaken the Lord. Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, having loved the present world, deserted from me, or deserted from Paul. He loved the present world so much that he left, he forsook, he deserted Christ. He deserted Paul and left him there in Thessalonica. These people don't attend services anymore. Maybe we know people like this. Maybe they are their Bibles are dusty. They don't dust them off at home. They don't use them at home. They are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And their action and their conduct in life and the manners that they work with other people, they don't want to express Christ in any way. They don't stand up for Christ. They don't stand up for the truth. They're ashamed of that. These people are cold. I thought it'd be good just to identify these three levels, hot, lukewarm, and cold, before we jump into into what does it take to increase our interest. Because I think we all somewhere fall into these categories. I don't think any of us are cold because we're all here this morning. But maybe we fall into other categories. Maybe we need to evaluate our life. This is the application part of this lesson. If we're going to increase our interest level, we have to know where we are now so that we can increase it. And I think we need to identify what our character is in the work of the Lord. Are we ready to serve and work? So what does it take to maintain a high level of interest in the Lord's work? Looking at, back at Colossians chapter 1, where our scripture reading came from, I want to read verses 3 through 12 here, just to kind of keep it in context, and then jump into verse 9 and 10, where our study will come from this morning. Colossians 1, verse 3. It says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in Christ. For this reason also," this is key verses here, "for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him with, in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to God, to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Paul praying to the Colossians here in verse 3, giving thanks, and says, praying for you always. He then mentions in verse 9 and 10 that, you know, since the day that they heard of it, we haven't ceased to pray for you. And then they ask God that he would fill them with something. He asked God that he would fill them with what I'm going to call three things here. And these are the three points that I think Paul... We should gain from Paul's writing and Paul's prayer here. And how do we increase our faith? So Paul's writing to them to increase their faith, to build them up, to encourage them, to also maybe correct some wrongs. But Paul is, one reason he's writing to them is to thank them for the work that they had done. And that's what these first few verses, thankfulness for their spiritual attainments. What is it that Paul said here that he thought would increase their interest in working for God? The first one is that he asked them to be filled with knowledge. In verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge. So that's my first point. The second point comes right after that. In verse 10, so that you will walk. That you will walk in a manner worthy. The action there, walk. I think that implies a participation. So that's my second point. And then the third point is there at the end of verse 10, bearing fruit. And so I want to take from that there is success. And I all of these points, knowledge, participation, and success, all will increase our interest in a subject. And so I want to try to bring those points out, that if we have knowledge, if we have participation, if we have success, we'll want to do it more. We'll want to be involved more. And I think we can definitely have all of those with God and serving him. So the first point is knowledge. Colossians 1 verse 9 that I read. And did you know that knowledge can increase interest in any subject? If you have a little bit more knowledge of it, then maybe you want to learn a little bit more. An example that we had this past week, Beth sent me a video of a hummingbird that was feeding on some flowers right outside our back door. We hadn't seen any birds up there yet, per se. And so this was interesting. And she had a nice long video of him, watch this bird feeding and flying, and how interesting it is to see that. I kind of, you know, I saw that video and it kind of all struck me. This is really neat. I've seen hummingbirds before, but it's so neat to see them again in action and flying around. And so then I said, well, how do we attract them again? I want to see them come back. I want to invite them back. So we need to get a bird feeder. We haven't got one yet, but maybe then we'll get into bird watching, right? So then we can, my great aunt had lots of bird feeders, and she had books laying around, binoculars sitting there ready at any second, and they could see that bird. And so she was very interested in the subject. She had a lot of books. She gained a lot of knowledge on these birds. That knowledge then spurred her, intrigued her to want to learn more and to be involved with it and to continue to be involved with it. But it started with that knowledge. It started with the knowledge because of the desire for more knowledge. You know, if we could sit there and read those books about the birds, but we'd also want to see them. But having the knowledge, that will spike our interest. Knowledge of a subject always increases that subject. We want to be involved with things that we know about, that we have knowledge on. Those are things in our life, when we think about activities in our life, those are things we are involved with, things that we know, our jobs that we have usually are involved with things that we know. We don't usually want to do something that we don't know anything about. We're uncomfortable with that. We have to know about them. And so Paul asked God to fill them with knowledge. Knowledge of God's will increase our interest in doing His will. Knowledge of God's will increase our interest in doing His will. In verse 6, the Colossians bore fruit in response to what? In verse 6 of Colossians 1, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. It was from the day that they understood, they gained knowledge and understood the grace of God in truth, that then they started increasing in their labor. They started increasing and bearing the fruit. It was because of the excitement they had in learning and the knowledge of God. The more we learn of God's will, the more excited we will become. And Psalms is a great place to turn to for a lot of these passages. In Psalms 119, in verse 111, it says, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are a joy to my heart. Inherited the testimonies forever. I will keep them forever. And that is the joy of my heart because I've learned them. Also in verse 162 and 164, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. In verse 164, 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. How many times do we read the scriptures and we understand a passage, we understand God's law, and then we stop and we praise God for the opportunity to understand that? It says here that he 7 times a day he praises God for learning those ordinances, for his ordinances that are in place. The knowledge of the scriptures, the knowledge of God and God's will increase our interest in doing his work if we gain more knowledge. We, as John pointed out in that lesson, we are the weak point. We fail to get the ball rolling. We fail to open up our Bibles and to read and to study. And so we have to realize that sometimes we have to get in there before we actually get the interest. And that's one thing with scriptures is you have to read that, you have to understand it, and then that will drive you, that will push you to want to understand more, to obtain more knowledge. Obtaining knowledge is going to require diligence. It's going to require devotion. And to grow, we must always desire the word like a babe desires milk. In 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We must long for that word. If we stop pushing for more knowledge and become relaxed, we're going to have to learn it all over again. If we become lukewarm, if we become cold, we're going to lose that knowledge. If we don't keep it active, we will lose it. Hebrews 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles. You should be principally, you should be teachers. You should have grown, but since you haven't, now we have to go back. Now we have to revert back just to the principles, the basics again. You have to relearn those. That's what Hebrews 5 points out. The principles of the oracles of God. Again, the psalmist is a great place to turn. He many times mentioned there meditating on the word, meditating on the law, remembering the statutes. These are things that we need to be active in doing. This is the knowledge. We need to gain that knowledge. That will spur us to increase our interest in doing His will. Another thing that Paul pointed out, backing over into Colossians 1, the second point is participation. Colossians 1, in verse 10, says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The idea of walking there is the action. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord is participating in the Lord's will. Participating in what God has asked us to do. Participating will increase our interest. If we are participating in something, back to my example of bird watching, I would lose interest very, very quickly if I didn't have an opportunity to see them in action. Okay, so if I just sat there and gained all the knowledge I could about books and kept my windows and blinds shut and never actually participated in watching them, in bird watching, I would lose interest really quick. And I think the same is true with most things in life. Think about sports as an example I was thinking of. Nobody wants to be a permanent bench warmer, right? You want to be involved. You want to be out there. You want to participate. And the more you participate, the more you want to learn, the more you want to push yourself to be better at a certain thing, and then you want to participate more. And so participation will increase our interest. If we can start participating in something, then we're going to be pushed. We're going to want to know more and to participate more, to increase our interest. It will increase our interest. And the more you participate, the more you want to participate. In James chapter 1, verse 25. James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Blessed is the man who becomes an effectual doer of the knowledge that he has gained. Blessed is that man. God will bless you if you put to work, if you participate in what you've learned about Him and His will. And that will drive you to want to participate more in what He does. Participate. Blessed is that man. James, back in Psalms, happiness comes to those who walk in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. Will bring us happiness if we walk in His ways. Verse 1 and 2, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. The Lord's going to bless us if we are walking in His word, in His will. And then back over into James that we just read from. James chapter 1. The previous few verses there to verse 25, starting verse 22. Starting verse 22 of James chapter 1. It's clear that there is more happiness, more satisfaction to knowing that you are a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That will bring you more happiness, more satisfaction. James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers only who delude themselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and has gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. We will forget the words of God if we are not participating in them, if we're not putting them to work. If we're only hearers only, there's not going to be happiness, there's not going to be satisfaction given. We have to participate. And the third point is success. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We kind of see a full circle come about in this passage. So he started off that God will fill you with knowledge of His understanding. And then in that, you're going to participate. You're going to bear fruit. Or you're going to participate in a way that you're walking worthy. And then you're going to bear fruit. So you're going to have success in that. And then from that, you're going to go back into gaining more understanding of His Word. Increasing in the knowledge of God. By doing these things, you will increase your knowledge of God. You will increase your interest in doing His will. Success increases interest. Bearing fruit. It may be known to Beth and maybe a few of closer friends, but I strongly dislike some games. There's some speed games that I'm not very good at. Card games, there's that one game where you click it and you try to get somebody to say it and before that time runs out, so you're on a timer. Not what I like to do. I don't enjoy them. Now, I will play them if you ask me to. And I won't grumble to you, maybe to Beth, but I like euchre, where you can sit there and you think about what you want to do. there are some games that I am not good at. I do not have success with those games. I don't have success with them. Therefore, I do not want to play them more, right? There are other things in life where we don't have success at, therefore we don't want to participate in them more. We say, I'm not good at that. I've tried water skiing before, Bryce. I've tried it. Probably not going to try it again. I'm not good at it. I didn't even get up. So there are things I'm not interested in doing then. It decreased my interest because I did not have success. And maybe there's more lessons we could take from, endeavoring and pursuing and pushing through. But this was something that, if you don't have success at it, you get distracted. You lose interest in doing that. We engage in activities that we have success in. If not, if there's no success, discouragement can often be the result. Another example is shaping your body. How many of us have in some way, shape, or fashion shaped our body at some point or purposely tried to? What makes people want to keep eating salad? What makes people want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go work out at a gym? Okay, what makes people want to run on a very hot day? Like yesterday, my sister-in-law was running 5 miles. It was pretty hot yesterday. I mowed on a rider for like 5 minutes and then I quit. Okay, so what drives her to do that? Well, what drives people to do that is they've had success. They have seen the results. They know what it can do. And therefore, they're going to do it more. They're going to be interested. They have spiked their interest in that activity. The same is true with God's work. If we get involved and then we have success, don't we want to do it more? Don't you get excited and have joy and happiness and that brings you a reward? And therefore, you say, let's do more. Let's be involved more. This will increase our interest in doing His Word. Think about Bible studies. So have you ever learned a passage, learned the meaning of a passage, And then you say, well, I had never thought of it that way. And then you want to read a little bit more. You want to study a different passage. It pushes you to say, well, I've learned that, and I have a question about this one as well. I want to learn this one as well. Have you ever, in personal evangelism, seen someone obey the gospel that you had a hand in, that you had a hand in teaching, that maybe you introduced the Bible to them, introduced Christ, Jesus to them first, and later on they obeyed the gospel? Does that not want to push you to evangelize more? It should. It should push you to want to teach more. If there's success, and seeing that success should increase your interest in doing it. Growth in the Lord. I may not be old enough to reap these fruits yet, but maybe some other generations could. If you have taught someone at a younger age, and then they grow up to be very strong Christians doing God's work, involved in whatever church or location they're in, and they're very active. They're active in teaching others about Jesus in that community. Does that growth, knowing that way back when you helped show them the gospel and you helped teach them, and now they are bearing great fruit, does that not also kind of to leak down back to you, that you have got some joy from that? And 3 John chapter 3 is an example of this. 3 John 3 verses 3 and 4. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified of your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. To know of someone that you helped teach one time, that later, many years down the road, are walking in the truth, brings you much joy. And as he said there, I have no greater joy than that, to know that my children are walking in the truth. Why do many lose interest in doing the Lord's work? Maybe it's because they have never tasted success. Maybe it's because they haven't pushed themselves. They haven't gained that knowledge. They haven't participated. They haven't succeeded. And therefore, they lose interest. If you're not interested in the Lord's work, or you have lost interest, it's likely due to one of these 3 points, or maybe all three. You have a lack of knowledge, you have a lack of participation, and you have a lack of success. God is not going to bless those who don't walk according to His Scriptures. Those that are not walking according to Scriptures, He is not going to bless. For those willing to maintain interest in God's work, Paul follows up with a few more thoughts for us. If you're willing to push yourself and to pursue and to gain knowledge, participation, and success, Paul has a few more thoughts in Colossians for us. Colossians chapter 1 there, at the end of my reading, verse 11, we're not going to be alone in our efforts. We are not going to be alone. God is with us. Colossians 1 and verse 11, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. All steadfastness, patience, all the strengthening through God's might. He is with us. He has strengthened us. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, in that passage it says, for it is God who is at work in you. For it is God who is at work in you. We're not alone if we decide we want to go to that level of hot. We want to be full of zeal in God's work and increase our interest in His work. He will be there with us. And then we should also be thankful. In verse 12, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us. We should be thankful that God is going to qualify us for an inheritance, for a reward, for those that are participating in His work. I urge all of us to think about our community we live in. Westfield, Indiana needs us. Westfield needs us to be involved. They need us to have an interest level in God's work, in God's will. Let's push to be interested like Paul and Silas in Acts 17. We can turn Westfield upright. We can share the gospel with them. They need us to be interested. Let's increase our interest in God's will. The song that we sing in 420, the second song, This is a verse in there that went along well with my previous thoughts in application. Verse 2 there towards the middle says, "Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame." Going back to my examples of hot, lukewarm, and cold. The cold was the one that was ashamed of the gospel. Full of shame. And here, the song saying, "Fill me with fire." Put me to that level of hot. Fill me with fire where I once burned with shame. If maybe the songs that we've sang went along well with the lesson, and maybe the scriptures that we've read kind of point out which character you are. Are you willing to change if you're not doing things according to God's will? Are you willing to correct that today? Are you willing to push yourself and increase your knowledge, your participation, and eventually success? And then we can be thankful to God for that inheritance, that reward. If you're willing to change your life today, we ask that you come forward as we stand, as we sing.